it's an interesting day so far. Like, for example, this morning I had to meet with one of my my locations, the fire marshal in the town, and the fire marshal just basically goes over all the coding to make sure my new building and is up and running. And some of you may have read about that deal that I had out. I just recently did a really cool real estate deal to put my building in, and I talked about it on the last 3 weeks of the conference calls, or the emails, I mean. But anyway, coming back from the fire marshal not showing up, wasting my time, I got rear-ended from some young teenage kid who wasn't paying attention, hit the back of my truck, and not a lot of damage. No one was hurt, but just the inconvenience. I waited for 45 minutes, and the police didn't even show up. So it's been a unique day so far, and I still remain to have a smile on my face. I'm, you know, working hard to keep the mentality that there is a positive in it, there's a positive in every negative situation. And many of us deal with a variety of ongoing daily struggles, from personal issues to goal setting, staff development, employee management, and school growth. Dealing with all this stress can often make us feel like our heads are in a blender, and I use this all the time because it's really true. I mean, I feel like that at times myself. But what can we do to break through the chaos and become productive-based financial animals? That's the tagline that I used on the emails that we said to advertise this conference call. During this month's insightful teleconferences, I think you're going to hear from Tommy Lee, you're going to hear from Melody Schumann. There's so much going on, and these experts are going to share with you the secrets to keep you guys moving and motivated. And I look at it like keeping your head above water and effectively dealing with the daily struggles, and while slowly edging yourself into financial freedom, or at least positive cash flow where you can feel happy and have a smile on your face. So I know it's hot by me. We're at like 105 degrees right now in New York, and we've had temperatures in the 90s, and to be honest, most people have stayed home and crawled up in a ball and just laid in their air-conditioned houses. So today's topic is one that I'm experiencing as we speak, and I hold it true to my heart. Remember, I'm not the kind of consultant that just talks about things and doesn't really do them. I'm the kind of person that practices the theory is what I practice. I practice what I preach. So it's not just conceptual. It's really action-orientated, you know, philosophies. And many of us deal with a variety of ongoing daily struggles. And from personal issues, you know, like I said before, goal setting, staff management, employee management, growing your school, and so on. And what is it that helps you keep your head above water to continue building your business in times that sometimes feel, you know, gray, or some people may say we're in a recession or in some economic struggle? So what are you going to do to deal with these daily struggles, you know? And you want to always continually move forward towards your goals. And again, do it happily, you know, having a smile on your face and actually not just faking the smile but really enjoying it. So I have to say many of us struggle working hard daily. If there's one thing that I found, that a good majority of the population of martial arts school instructors, they work their butts off. They work super hard day after day, sometimes 7 days a week. And the simple fact is that they're not working smart. You know, they're working hard but not working smart. And, you know, those two things are entirely different. So maybe this could do with, you know, working harder and not working smarter could deal with the upbringing and belief systems that a person has, or the basic moral principles. And how many of us actually believe we should act or be or what we deserve? A study I just read in one of the books recently talked about some salespeople. They spoke of one group of salespeople that set goals. That one group that set their goals usually hit them. The interesting that I found wasn't that just because they set goals, they hit their goals, is how we actually set our goals. And this is not about goal setting. But it talked about how a salesperson might have said, okay, I'm making 50 grand a year, and I'm going to set my goal in January. This year, by next January, I'm going to make 75 grand. And usually, 95% of the time, they hit their goal of 75 grand. And then, you know, the next year, they would hit their goal, and they'd bump it up to maybe 100 grand. And usually, when they set the goal, they hit it. And my question is, and the weird thing that I saw was, why didn't they set their goals at, let's say, 1 million or 5 million? It seemed like they would always get to what they wanted to, but they set their goals low. And I believe that they're leaving room for cushion and the chance that if they do fail, they're not so disappointed. And I thought about this, and I did a study in one of my martial art classes. I did 8 classes the other day that I taught. I asked the students to run full tilt, 100%, from side to side, and we call these things suicide laps, where they run 10-foot, run back to the starting line, run to the next line 20-foot, run back to the starting line, run to the next line 30-foot, and back to the starting line, until they've run like 7 to 10 laps, and then stop. And after we were all done, Everyone was finished. They were panting and sweating and you know, so on. I asked them, on a scale of 1 to 10, how did they think that they scored? Based on energy and enthusiasm and intensity, how much effort did they actually put it in? 1 was the worst, 10 was the best. And on average, the students there would say that they did between a 4 and a 7. There were only a few bold enough to say that they did a 9. They tried to do a 10, but they believed they did a 9. If they tried again, they could do better. The people who worked at a 9 were my black belts that have trained with me for like 5 to 10 years. And they knew that I was looking for them to run as fast as they could, and they did when they tried. But that was the black belt mentality. But I wonder, why does the average person work at, let's just say, mid-range, at like a 5 or a 6? So I ask myself the question, why is it times that we run at 50% as business owners? Why is it that if we're supposed to be putting all our time and effort into running our business, why is it that we can't find the time to put in the effort? Why is it that we waste time on things that are not important? And why do we major in minor things? You know, the things that are so important to us, the major things are put to the side. So why isn't it that we major in major things rather than majoring in minor things? For example, we get into our office and we're bombarded with so many things that need to be done. You and I both know, you know, there's a billion things to be done to run a martial arts school. Half the time when I gave my, 3 weeks ago when I gave my program manager's list, I listed all the things that my staff does. The cool thing is it's spelled out, and then I sent it out in one of the emails. And I wonder how many people, including my staff, are actually really dedicated to making sure that every one of those tasks are done 100%. Because if they did, I know that I'd be busting at the seams. I'd probably have 2,000 students. I wouldn't have 1,200. I'd have 2,000 plus students. So I wonder, what is it about human nature that lets us kind of work hard but not really work super hard at the things that are important? Now, I've spoken on topics such as time management, goal setting, prioritizing, and many other topics over the last 2 years of me doing these calls. And why is it that some people get it while others don't? And I've developed my website, takingittothenextlevel.com. And why is it that some people on the website that are actually working at it are getting 40% increases in 4 months, and others have developed, they've tripled or quadrupled the size of their business in 14 months? Is it luck? And as you know, I don't think that it's luck. Why is it that when I talk to people about my referral program, that personally that I've yielded over 400 plus referrals last year? Right now we're at about 190 referrals this year. Why is it that people take what I tell them and they cut pieces of it out? Why is it that when I speak of it, they change it, they add things of their own, they delete out things, and then they change the overall program, and then they complain that they don't get the results? Well, here's my answer. We as martial art business people approach the martial arts as we did our martial art training, as if we were on a mission of self-discovery. You know, when we were students in a constant training mentality of research and development, our teacher would teach us a move, we'd practice it over and over and over again until we got good, and then we would move on to the next best thing or the next technique that's in our level to get to our next belt. While we worked hard at our physical training, or not so well for others that, you know, some people may take 10 times longer than another, one person is extremely talented physically and another person has to work 10 times harder to learn the same basic movement. But why is it that we're constantly placing the cart before the horse? You know, what's the solution? Like I ask my students in school for the little kids, I say, how do we focus? And the students will yell out, focus your mind, focus your heart, focus your body, sensei. And I continually ask my clients on Next Level to focus. But I would say a small portion of my Next Level clients really focus on the task. So the end result is basically going to be the same. They're going to get half the results that they could if they focused on one specific task. So let me give you an example. I do a lot of personal motivation and mentorship for clients. So I charge $750 and I do 30 minutes per week of one-on-one consulting with a school owner. Included, they get everything from my Taking It to the Next Level membership. I recently had a client that signed up and completed his first month. As a team, him and I, we would work on every single week making sure that we stuck to specific tasks. And we were getting immediate results. Even though that I was up against many issues, we were able to get a great deal accomplished. For instance, you know, he was in his own, you know, mentality where certain things were not possible, and we had to do a lot of shifting, of paradigm shifting, so to speak. Within that month, we hired a program manager. We worked on his referral program. We freed him up from 10 classes during the week so that he could do more staff training and management rather than teaching. We got him to raise his prices. Now, most of you might be saying, wow. And I believe that to be true. But I thought so, too. And when it came time for us to do our second month, I asked him if he was ready to go ahead. And he said that he was good for now and he wanted to work on all the stuff himself. Now, I know and I believe or hope that he knew he would never do it by himself without someone holding him accountable. By character, we as humans look for the easy way out, and we do what's most comfortable. So remember what Tony Robbins says, we only have two desires, to experience pleasure and to avoid pain. Well, technically, this is only one desire, because if we experience pleasure, we're avoiding pain anyway. The problem is sometimes we continually are plagued by the desire to experience immediate pleasure, sometimes putting off things that are very painful. Immediately, we're happy, but in the long run, we get a whole bunch of pain because we're not looking at the long run, the hard work. So right now, to us, it may seem painful to get down and really, really work hard on what needs to be done. It may appear to be painful, but with the end in mind, we realize that we're going to have so much more freedom, so much more results, so much more financial, you know, satisfaction if we do what we need to do right now. So what do? Here are five tips that I recommend right now that I would say for every martial arts school owner out there. Now, number one, I would say the first step is to get a mentor. Find someone that's willing to hold you accountable. Someone that's going to challenge you and test you in ways that you would normally not test yourself. Now, this could be physically, spiritually, mentally, but I want you to do this in the business sense. Find someone that could be a business mentor. It doesn't necessarily even have to be a martial arts school owner. But I would promise you that if you called up somebody who is a successful martial arts school owner, they would have no problem with you picking their brain. And if you ask them to give a little bit of their time, 30 minutes a week or, you know, every other week to help you and just talk to you and ask questions, I bet you a good majority of the people wouldn't do it. If not, there are many other consulting companies out there that they charge you for this. And it could be anywhere from $500 on up to $5,000. But let me tell you, it's well worth it because if they're holding you accountable, the results are going to be there for you, and you're going to have no problem paying off what you're actually, you know, paying. Number two, I would recommend to get on a program of some sort that will lay out exactly what you need to do. For instance, my Taking It to the Next Level site. But there are other things out there as well. And then get on that program and actually do it. I mean, actually set aside 10 hours a week to study the program. Become a student again. Take the time to work on what you need to work on rather than just pay money to be in Maya, NATMA, MATA, Schumann Concepts, Next Level, you know, MA Pro, whatever. All of these companies are phenomenal, but if you're not using them, you're just wasting your money. You need to set aside time, at least 10 hours a week, to study and move forward. Number three, you need to check your results daily, but realistically. Don't just do it when times are tight. Don't hold yourself to a higher standard only when things are bad. Literally, every single day, find out what you're doing and what you could be, you know, working on. Number four, I want you to build your muscles. Not just your physical muscles. I mean, actually, your brain muscles. You need to challenge your brain. You need to, just like as if you were to build your heart muscle, you need to challenge it. And when you work muscles, you bring them to the point of breakdown, and then they start to rebuild and get stronger. You know, you also need to work on your spirit. You know, you need to work on that spirit that's going to keep you going, keep you positive, keep you motivated on a regular basis so that you can attack life without getting kicked back five steps. And if you're not able to see this, if you lay stagnant, your muscles eventually become weak and they deteriorate. So why would you not do this all day, all week long for your business muscles? You know, we can't get caught up in just being martial art instructors and teaching and only teaching because we're not moving forward ourselves. We have to train ourselves. We have to also learn about how to become a better business person so that we can create a better environment for our students so that they will have a better school. In turn, they're going to stay longer and your school is going to grow. The fifth one, last but not least, is do what's necessary to take yourself personally and your school to the next level. Stop putting off today till tomorrow. You know, do what's necessary today and so that you can move on to something else tomorrow. I know it's not easy, but you must stay focused if you want to be the best or be a success in life. For example, there's only a small percentage, and I don't even want to use the statistic, but there's a small percentage of people on the planet that are millionaires. You know, there are trillions of people on the planet, but there are only a small percent, maybe 1%, that are millionaires. I mean actual millionaires. So you got to ask yourself, what separates those people from the other people? And it's not that they're workaholics. It's not that they're, you know, crazy and, you know, addicted to the money. It's just that they're focused and they have a goal in mind and they stick to it and they don't let anything get in their way. So let's talk about this for a moment without insulting anyone. I'm going to give you another analogy. I had a woman call me the other day and inquire about the Taking It to the Next Level program. Basically, she told me that no matter what I told her, she wouldn't buy the program and become a client. That's how the conversation started. And I was amazed, and in my head I thought to myself, why did she even bother calling? But I was intrigued to continue on, so I continued to speak to her, being conscious of my time. I watched my watch on a regular basis because I didn't want to invest too much time on someone who was as negative as she was. I asked her how many students she had, and she told me that she had 40. Now, of course, with 40 students, I wondered, you know, how long was she actually in business? So I asked her how long had she been open, and she told me that she was in business for 17 years. Now, imagine, don't you think that after 10 years or 5 years that you would think that you need to make some changes if you want to grow your school? And I asked her, I said, don't you think you need to make some changes? And she said, yes. Then she went on to tell me how she pretty much knew it all. She knew about marketing. She knew about retention. And then she told me that her retention was excellent. Now, I'm thinking to myself, 17 years, even if you brought in one student a year, you'd have 17 students if they stayed with you. You know, she only has 40 students in all that time, so her retention had to be atrocious. But in her mind, she believed that it was good. She basically was her own worst enemy. So what do we do when we're each other's worst enemy? What do we have to realize first? The first thing we need to look at is our weaknesses. So I'm going to give you an assignment right now, and if we can, I'm going to be silent for about 2 minutes. So I would like for you guys to actually participate, and I'd like to take the next 2 minutes to write down 5 of your biggest weaknesses that you have. Now, I'm not kidding. I want to really make this a working meeting today. So as your mentor today, because you dialed in and you called, I want you to write down 5 of your biggest weaknesses. Seriously, I want to stay on the line for 2 minutes and I'm going to wait. I want you to write them down. So let's start now. If you don't do anything, then again, why bother being on this call? So write down your 5 weaknesses, the 5 biggest weaknesses, and take the time to prioritize them in sequence. For example, let's just say you're a procrastinator. I want that to be number 1, and whatever you don't follow up, that's number 2. And then after you have your 5 biggest weaknesses, I want you to prioritize them in order from 1 to 5, meaning what's going to be the one that is, if you change, will give you the biggest change in your business, will yield you the most results. What I mean is if you were to recognize one thing and correct it and it would yield the results for you, which would be the number one thing out of your 5? So then you're going to go from 1 to 5. So let's start right now. I know this is going to feel really weird and uncomfortable. I don't have music to play or anything like that, but let's just take 2 minutes and I'm going to start the watch right now. 2 minutes right from now, I want you to write the 5 weaknesses that you have. Go. Let's start. Okay, that's just about 1 minute, just about 1 minute. So you could continue on. You got 1 more minute, the 5 of your biggest weaknesses. Okay, 30 seconds more. 30 seconds more to go. 5 of your biggest weaknesses, and I want you to label them 1 through 5 as far as level of importance. okay, I'm back. So it's just about 2 minutes of time. So now, of course, as a business owner, you could be your own worst enemy. So what you have to ask yourself, out of these five things, what are going to be the things that you could work on a daily basis to correct? For example, what's sucking up all your time? Where are you losing money? Where is all your energy going? What could you do to correct them? What could you do to make a change? Now, why do you think this woman called me and asked me and inquired about my taking it to the next level site? You know, why would she even waste her time with dialing the phone? So I believe that she's caught up in what I call the belief that she's not the problem, that she thinks the whole entire external thing is the problem. Now, in my study of Buddhism, it's taught me to continually look within. It's not about others. It's about everything else. It's not about everyone else. It's not about everything else. It's about me and what I'm going to do to improve on a daily basis. So no matter what my struggles are in life, I have to keep looking in the mirror, so to speak. So I ask you, what is it about you, your personality, that you need to change so that you can improve upon that to become a better instructor, a better employer, a better business owner, a better husband, wife, father, friend, and so on? So after today's call, I suggest that you take 5 minutes and you write down where you want to be in 5 years. I want you literally to take 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, and paint a picture and make an outline of a five-year program. Where do you see yourself now, and in 5 years, where do you see your school? Do you see yourself adding on 200 students? Do you see you adding on 20 students and $200,000 in income? Do you see yourself having 20 employees and or scaling down to five? Do you see yourself selling your school? And then I want you to take another 5 minutes and write down all the things that could get in your way, including all the things that you do to limit yourself. Understanding that now, if you take those five of your biggest fears or five of your biggest failures or five of your biggest weaknesses and you work on them, how will that change your plan of action? How will that change the way your business looks in 5 years? Now, you know what? I could give you another five systems, and I could tell you, in order to be a successful school owner, if you do your 2-4-6-8-10-week calls or your referral program or you hire a program manager and all these different things that school owners do to become successful, I could give you system after system after system. But basically, unless you are actually past the point where you could take those systems, immediately inject them into your school and work on them, your self-limiting behaviors are going to be the biggest problem. Why? We need to find out why somebody like myself, Melody Schumann, Tommy Lee, or other consultants are giving you ideas that are working for us. Why isn't it that they're not working for the person that we give it to or replicating it? Because after all, you know, I have 1,100 or 1,200 students at any given time. If I have those people training in my school, obviously what I'm doing is working. So why wouldn't someone go out and totally just come to my school, copy everything I do, go back to their school and have 1,200 students? You have to ask yourself. It's simple. I mean, McDonald's does it. They do it everywhere around the world. They open up a McDonald's and they make money. It's nothing different. The systems are identical. They're boilerplate. They're turnkey, like Michael Gerber says. Well, the answer is that you're basically caught up in your own blender. And the only problem is that you're jumping in and out on your own, and you're pushing the button at the same time and creating havoc and chaos. And it's possible that you do it to yourself. And as you know, some things can't be helped. Some things, they come up. Some things are going to happen, whether you like it or not. Little fires, phone calls, problems, issues, whatever. The point I'm making is what you can't control, you can't control. But what you can control, you need to work on. For example, in my martial art, I teach a Japanese martial art at ninjutsu. We have an exercise that we call Rondori. Rondori in Japanese is basically the continual application of techniques, defending against multiple attackers, defending against continuous attackers. You see it a lot in Aikido, where they multiple attackers, four or five people at once, come after one person. The goal is to build your ability to be able to sort quickly and react and defend yourself. Many people get overwhelmed in the beginning, and very rarely are people able to do this from the start. With more and more practice, though, you're able to build up your tolerance and your clear-headedness, your clear-headed mentality to be able to handle more than one opponent, and eventually many at one time. The goal is to do this in business. We want to be able to handle 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 tasks at once, but the only way to do that is to build those muscles, to build that tolerance. So my definition of Rondori in English is, it's not my definition, but the definition of Rondori is to seize chaos, and sometimes our lives seem very chaotic. So how many of us are overwhelmed with little things? isn't it time that you take charge and make sure that you're more focused on the priorities, the major tasks, and not let the little things, the minor tasks, overwhelm you? And you got to ask yourself, so how do you focus? That's the question. So the goal is for you to learn and build these muscles and keep on growing. Let me give you a review, those quick tips, those five tips that we talked about, and I'm going to move on as well. So tip number one is going to be to get a mentor. Find someone that's willing to hold you accountable, to challenge you, to test you in ways that you would normally not test yourself. Why don't you do this already? Or why haven't you done this? Or why haven't you been on conference calls with either myself or Melody? Or why haven't you found someone that could do that for you, found a mentor? Why haven't you, you know, I don't know, reached out to a good friend of yours? Remember, it doesn't have to be in the same business. It doesn't have to be a martial art business. You might have a friend who's a very successful doctor who runs thousands of patients through his office. There's got to be something there that is, you know, the same, that's similar. Remember, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, like the lady that had her dojo open for 17 years and had 40 students. Can you imagine that? The next thing is to get on a program of some sort that will lay out exactly what you need to do. Take the guesswork out. Stop trying to tackle the world and try to figure things out on your own. You know what? I'd rather see you by the end of the year being 10 times more successful and not being original. I mean, later on, once you have success, you could become original and start making up your own programs and so on. But right now, follow things that have worked. Set up 10 hours a week. I mean, that's not a lot. That's, I don't know, you could do 2 hours a day, 5 days, and take the weekend off if you'd like, you know. Or you could spread it out throughout the week, but become a student. Some people pay as much as $1,500 to find a mentor and a consultant to hold them accountable. But you need to get on some sort of program where you're learning, and eventually, you know, you're going to get benefits from it. But don't say, you know, that you're not putting in the time and then that they're not helping you. You got to ask yourself, could it be you that's the problem? Number three is check your results every day realistically. You know, don't just do it when times are tight. Hold yourself to a higher standard. Again, it's something that your mentors are going to do for you, too. They're going to put the effort forward and say, listen, I asked you last week to get your referral program up and running. Why haven't you done it? Well, blah, blah, blah happened. Well, I go, oh, that's great. Do you want another week extended on that time? Or do you want me to come down on you because you didn't do it? Because if you will, you'll start having people come through the door. Number four, build your muscles, actually your brain muscles. Make sure you challenge it on a regular basis, just as if you were to challenge your heart and your physical muscles. Make sure that you're not laying stagnant, because if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. Number five, last but not least, do what is necessary to take yourself personally and your school to another level. Stop putting off what's necessary until tomorrow. And I know it's not easy, but you must stay focused if you want to be the best or be a success. So just by reading my weekly email, listening to my calls or Melody's calls or whoever else on a regular basis doesn't necessarily mean you're going to actually become a success. You need to move forward to catapult yourself into action and move like you are in a race on the way to the finish line. Now, I'm moving on today, and I'm moving on to another topic here. It's really not another topic. It's about what we were talking about. So how many of us know something that is – how many of us know people that proverbially have that black cloud above their head? They're pretty much everywhere they go. Whether they're a parent, a staff member, a student, we need to recognize negativity. I have a really, really dear friend to me that actually travels with this black cloud. Funny enough, one time on a checkout line for the airplane, for the airport, the woman behind the desk, she actually asked him if he'd be checking that black cloud with his luggage. You know, I thought it was, she was just kidding, but I thought it was hysterical how she just recognized the gloom and doom in his voice, the despair, the negativity. And I know that we all know many people like this. So what do we do when we have a person like this that's surrounding us? What we really need to do is limit our time with negative people. That's why I say you have to choose correct students. You know, you can't always have someone who's in the lobby talking negative about your school. You can't have a staff member that's not positive. You can't have people that have gloom and doom kind of mentalities. You know, what we need to do is find people and surround ourselves with inspirational people that are inspirational to everyone. The one that no matter what, how sad they are inside, keep a smile on their face. You want to find a person like this and get them in on your staff. And you need to take the time to find people like this. Even if they're not around, you need to find them. You need to look like if you were mining for gold and revolve your life around people like this. And I guarantee you it's going to enhance your life. So don't let yourself out of guilt continue with relationships that are bringing you down. Get rid of the negativity. Steven Seagal once told me that you can only carry people on your back until they knock you down. And even at times when you're down, you could crawl on all fours. But once you're on your stomach flat out and you can't move anymore, you need to shake those people off and then kind of let them go out of their, out of your life. Let them move on their own and grow on their own. You can't just stand up again and get them back on your back and give them another free ride. Sometimes with our students we do this. Sometimes with our staff we do this. Sometimes with friends and relatives and people we do this. But we need to think about this, and we need to see, like, are they draining our energy? Is it that mom who's always coming into your office and saying, can I talk to you? And every day they talk about the same old, and every day they, from, and they're not willing to make any changes. They're just willing to complain about their lives. So I want you to think about your employees or staff members that you have on your, in that's either in your employment or that they're volunteers or that you have on board. You want to evaluate them. And here are five tips to evaluate your employees. Here we go. Number one, the first tip is you have to ask yourself if they're staff member, are they an asset or are they a liability? Remember, if they're making you money, then they're an asset. If they're costing you money, then and losing you money, then they're a liability. If due to for some reason you're losing students because of this person, then they're a liability. If for some reason they're just basically doing their basic job. Their job is to come in and teach classes, you know, and ho-hum, they come in and they teach a class, even if it's a dynamic class. What are they really doing to make your school better? When have they come up? When was the last time they came up with a great idea? When was the last time that they inspired someone to go get student referrals? Number two, you want to find racehorses. Do not hire someone because they need a job. Hire them because they're willing and capable doing their job. It's imperative that they have all the quality character traits of a great employee, and not just on resume, but in reality. So you want to find racehorses. They want every day you want them to be so inspired to grow your school, as inspired as you are on a regular basis. Number three, look for people with similar character traits as yourself. They don't have to be totally like you, and they could be slightly different, but if they're totally different, they're going to eventually clash with you, and you're going to eventually have to get rid of them. So you can't try to change someone. If their you know, moral compass is different than yours, you're going to have a problem getting them to think the way you want them to think to grow your school. So they're only going to bend to your will when it's financially sound for them. But behind your back, they're not going to work with you well. So what you want to do is find people that have similar character traits or the same mentality and the moral compass that you have. Number four, find individuals that can see the big picture. You want visionaries in your program. I had a friend recently tell me when he interviews people, he closed the interview, he ended the interview by asking them how they thought the interview went. And if they said good, he basically tells them to get up out of their chair, that it was the worst interview he had ever conducted, and he shows them to the door. I asked him why he did that, and he said his goal was to see who was willing to stay and fight. He wanted to find the people that were willing to fight, to try to get themselves hired, rather than just would put a sad face on and walk out the door. He wanted them to show the true colors because he believes that if they accept defeat and just walk away, that they're going to do the same exact thing when they get out in the street doing the job in the real world. So I agree with him, although I don't have the heart to do that, and I really wish I did, but this is the way that he conducts his interviews. And he has a guy that he just hired and made partner, and last year he grew the company by $25 million. Of course, this is an international shipping company, not a martial arts school, but what's to say that if we didn't have the right people in place, we couldn't have tripled our business? And the last one, number five, is have a clear-cut vision of what you want people to achieve. You need to specifically spell out to the letter what you want people to do. You need to have it on paper, and you want it to show that to them and explain it to the staff. Many times people leave jobs because they feel that they can't go anywhere, because they don't have a clear picture of where you believe that they may go in the future. So if they don't see it because you haven't explained it, or they don't see it because they're just not in that mindset, you need to work hard to make sure that they realize the vision and recognize the vision. And this is very, very important, or else employees or staff members or even students will find themselves in a dead end. They'll think that they have nowhere to go. Like, for example, years ago I used to say to our students, what's the quest? And they would yell out, to be the best. Then we would ask them, what's your goal? And they would say, black belt. What I found was that they started setting their sights at black belt. We were pre-framing them from the very early stages of their enrollment to when they achieved their black belt, that black belt was the end. So we actually just changed that quote. Now we say, what's the quest? And the students yell, to be the best. And then we say, what's your goal? And they say, black belt and beyond. And then we say, how far? And they'll say, first degree, second degree, third degree, all the way on up to 10. So it's our goal on a regular basis to get these people to see the vision, to get a clear-cut vision of what we want, what we can supply, and what we think that they can achieve. So I have a few things that I wanted to go over with you guys, and I'm going to open up the line now. I talked for almost 40 minutes straight, so I'm going to open it up. Joanne, thank you so much. Does anybody have any questions on anything, any topic, anywhere? Doesn't even have to pertain to what we just talked about, so just shoot at it. Shoot them at me if you have any. So anybody out there have a question right now? Okay, that's fine with me. I actually wasn't even going to ask questions today, but I figured I'd open up the door because I've just been talking so long. So, yes.
Hey, how you doing? It's Anthony.
Hey, Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I love listening to your teleconferences, and the website, taking it to the next level, helped me tremendously. So,
well, you know what,
I
Anthony,
appreciate it.
Funny enough, I was just about to read one of your testimonials, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, because I was going to talk a little bit about not so much the website, but by being focused on getting tasks done and actually being able to sit with that. So I'm going to read your testimonial that you sent to me not too long ago.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Anybody else out there have any comments? Any other members that are next level members? Okay. Let me move on. Before we close this, I wanted to talk about how if you're in some sort of program, whether it be mine, Melody Schumann's, any MATA, all of these programs are phenomenal. What I suggest, though, to all the owners of schools is to do what we do with our students. You know, we would never let a student run on the mat and do a jumping, spinning, well, let me not even do a kicking thing because that's not even my analogy. I would never let someone come out on my mat and do an ukemi, a flip in the air, and land on their side. I had a guy who trained the New York City Police Department who claimed that he was a judo champion. And in my school, you're not allowed to actually take a fall by being thrown by somebody for the first 4 months. You could learn how to fall, and we baby step you through. And then at white belt level, you eventually take slow falls, and then yellow belt, you're falling on a natural kind of way. But anyway, this guy claimed to me that he was a bodybuilder in great shape. He was a marathon runner and a judo guy. He taught for the police department. And every time we were doing falls, I'd say, you're not allowed to do falls. And he would kind of get upset. And he eventually nagged me enough to break me down, and I allowed him to take a fall. When the first fall hit, when he hit the mat for the first time, he broke his collarbone. He was out of work for like 8 weeks. He was upset with me, and he was mad at himself, and he never showed up at the dojo again. Now, what does this basically mean? What is this analogy? The analogy is that sometimes we, as school owners, can't allow our students to do things before their time. We need to think about our business this way. We're already open. We already have the doors open. We're already marketing. We have people coming through the doors. But do we have all the systems in place to grow our schools? For example, I always talk about the 2-4-6-8-10 week calls. I have some friends of mine that they're in Canada, and they're from the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu School. They're phenomenal guys, and they've used these on a regular basis, and they've grown their schools. So if you use it, but you use it to 100%, it's going to benefit you. But if you're only doing it, you know, superficially and not really putting the time in, what's going to happen is eventually you're going to see it as a waste of your time and you're not going to use it, and then you're going to find that you're not getting results, so therefore taking it to the next level or whatever other company is a waste of your time and money. So I'm going to read a few testimonials on what people have been doing just so you can know what I get. And it says, one guy wrote, I'm looking forward to month number two. I can fill the holes in my business with the systems that you're sharing, and we've been in business for 5 years come next February, and I made my goal to step it up and approach the milestone. Now I'm confident with your systems and your ideas, if I do it 100%, I will see incredible growth. Then Anthony, who just spoke before, he wrote, after trying taking it to the next level program 8 months ago, not only did I double my student count, but I was able to systemize the way I run my school. The program helps me to step by step, and it's easy to use. Not only is my blood pressure and stress level a fraction of what it is before I started, but I'm much happier knowing that I have a better grip on the way my school is running. Duderentiali providing me with this knowledge on how to run my school effectively, I know that I'll have more free time to spend with my family. So this is an amazing thing. Then I have another guy who wrote, Just let me say that you have a quality that is very likable. It's something that you're born with, and it's a bedrock of your honesty and fearlessness. It takes courage to be open and honest as you share But this is what is so vitally needed in our business today. That's what I like about you and Melody Schumann as well. And you're both just down to earth, and there's no pretenses and no pretending. But then there are things that you already know. So I apologize if I sound, well, you know, I am just like complimenting you. I just believe that we all like to hear things, and he was giving me a compliment to tell me, and also to Melody, that we're doing a great job. So back to what I was talking about is that we need to buckle down like we did on our five biggest fears or our five things that are our worst enemy. And we need to find out what they are and work on correcting them. We also need to find out what the biggest five flaws are in our school. So I want to take this time right now, and I'm only going to do this for, let's say, 30 seconds because I want you to write this down quickly. But I want you to write down the five things in your school that you believe you absolutely need to improve. Now, before I move forward, I want to give you some ideas. Is it the look of the school? Is it the smell of the school? Is it the decoration of the school? Is it your front desk people? Do they approach your students? Do they speak to them in a nice manner? Do they greet them when they walk through the door? Do they talk to them, and are they on a one-on-one on a first-name basis, one-on-one kind of comfortable feeling? Is it that your system has flaws in the actual teaching methods? Do you have a good curriculum from beginner to fifth-degree black belt? Is the curriculum set up with a way that people will see continued progress? Is there flaws in the techniques that you teach? Maybe they're not realistic. Maybe they don't work. Maybe people can't see the value in them. Is it the way your teachers that teach for you, your staff members, your instructors, junior instructors, do they teach and get your message across? Are the students sticking around, or are they quitting? Are they actually out referring your school? Are they your biggest fans? Are they out there motivated? These are so many things. So I want you to take 30 seconds, and I'm going to start in 5 seconds, and I want you to write down five of the biggest things that you need to work on in your school, what you see as a weakness in your school, not in yourself personally, although the two may tie together, but in your school. What should you do at this moment in the next 2 weeks? What could you correct that will give you a huge, will give the parents something that they'll see and notice right away? So let's start now. 30 seconds, write down five things that you need to improve. Okay, good. All right, Joanne, if we could just open the line and we'll keep it open. We only have about maybe 12 minutes left, so if we could open it up for everybody. And does anybody have any questions on anything so far, or would anybody like to share with me some of the ideas that you may have on how you're going to improve your school, or five things you may need to work on, and maybe I could give you some insight on that, and maybe give you a little tip, if I can. I mean, I might not be the answer. I might have to refer you to someone else. But is anybody out there that would like to share that with us? And Joanne, we need to open up the lines. Joanne.
We are actually okay. Open, Allie. So.
All right, very good. So I didn't know whether it was silent because no one was saying anything or we were open or not. So does anybody want to...
No, let me just check. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. Now I hear.
All right, we're open now.
Okay, anybody out there that want to share with me anything? Anybody have any steps that they'd like to talk about? Anything that they'd like to work on? And maybe I could give you some insight on?
Allie?
Yes.
Chris from San Diego.
I'm sorry, who's this?
Chris from San Diego.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm okay. I hear about, you know, getting my employees to see the big picture and run with it with me. What happens if your school, if you have a school and you have employees already, but, you know, bringing a new employee and finding the person to understand the big picture may be easier when they're first coming into the company, but what if they're already in the company and you need to change the mindset or somehow slowly shape the mindset so they're running with you rather than...
You know what, that's interesting, and I'm going to tell you that's so funny that you asked that, because being a consultant, I consult martial arts school owners, but I also have a guy that I'm working with right now on building my five-year picture. Because I have some exit strategies that I want to put in place, and I want to step out into a whole new realm. So I'm actually doing that in my school as we speak, and it's interesting that the answer to your question is that sometimes people are willing to continually grow, and then there are others that aren't. And what we need to do, and the consultant that I'm talking to, he spelled it out to me this way. He said, it's like you're on a bus on your way towards success, on your way towards a function or a goal, and you stop along the street, and one of your employees is standing there, and you tell them, step on the bus, and they have all these reservations about stepping on the bus, and they have all these questions, and they're not sure on how to do it and what to do. You have to ask yourself as an employer if they're capable of continuing forward with you. They may have reached a plateau that they're not going to be able to continue forward. They may have reached a part in their lives where they're not going to be able to grow and be a part of your company anymore. So we constantly have to reevaluate the people that are with us and see whether they have the desire to move forward. So you can ask them, and you can sit with them, and you can interview with them, and you can tell them what your goals are. Now they have to make the choice to step on. Again, this consultant that I'm working with is telling me that, you know, there are some people that may have been able to function within the company till now because the way it was and the size that it was, that was their capability. But as we move forward in different directions and growth, that they may not be capable of actually staying with us and being a part of the organization, because as we change, they're not going to be able to follow along. So you have to be real careful about that, but at the same time, you know, understand that this is exciting because as you put the better people in place, you're going to grow. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. It's just I have two instructors right now. One is seems that they're, you know, they come in, they teach, they do pretty good teaching, and they enjoy what they do. But I have another instructor who basically went out, visited another school, looked at how, you know, they ran their classes. He actually takes on all my new students.
Right.
And he had all my new students pumped and moving, and I'm just like, wow. I mean, we had one that was just went out and just went the extra mile and how to...
Okay, let me ask you this question. If I was Donald Trump on The Apprentice right now, who would you hire or who would you fire if you had only one choice?
Yeah, okay.
You know, my point is that you're talking like I always talk, and it's like we're running a orphanage for people, you know, to try to keep people employed. And I totally understand and then sympathize with you, but like my friend had said, you know, we want people that are going to make us money. They got to be a liability, and they want to do the right thing. They want to keep the students pumped. And what's the difference between employee B, who is doing that and going out and wanting to make a living and make it better, and then employee A, who's just like kind of a lump on the log, who's doing their job, the bare minimum, like 85% of Americans in the world and all around the world, not just Americans, but around the world, the people who just do what they can to get by. You know, I once had an employee tell me, if you pay me more, I'll do a better job.
Yeah.
So obviously that wasn't the answer. I said, if you do a better job, I will pay you more, but you can't expect once you do the better job now that I'm going to reward you, because now you bought yourself some time because you told me what kind of mentality. It's all about financial gain with you. And hey, listen, everybody's got to make a living, but I want people to excel. I want racehorses that are going to be out of the gate really doing their job 100%. I had just recently interviewed for a program manager in my school, and I sent out an ad in my email to all my student database, and I got three or four moms email me back and say that they're looking for a job, but... you know, I can't do Saturdays because my son's in baseball, and I can't do this. And, you know, my parents and my children are my top priority. I basically just ignore their emails because they're basically telling me that they're coming to the job with limitations. They're not going to be company players. And I only want people that are really 100% dedicated and into their career. I don't want them to work 150 hours a week. I just want to know when they work 40 hours a week that I'm going to get 40 solid hours of productivity. So the question is answered. You got a guy now, and you could see the difference between someone who's gung-ho and motivated and someone who's not. Now, the answer is, can you motivate those other people? Mm-hmm. That's the question. What's the reason why they're not motivated? Can they see the clear picture? Do they really, truly know it? That's the question you need to ask yourself.
Great.
And then if you do spell it out as best as you can and they're still not on board, what I suggest is keep them around long enough until you find someone else to replace them that's better. And I'm not saying that, you know, sometimes you could reclassify their job and they might just be assistant instructors and you hire other people that will be, you know, higher than them. Not everyone, just because they're there and they have seniority, are always top employees.
Right.
You know, I hope that answered your question, but sometimes the answer is right there for you.
Right. No, that answered my question. That was great.
Awesome. Anybody else have a question or any comments on anything like that? No? Okay, that's fine with me. I'm going to end a few minutes early then. Before I end, though, I wanted to say to you guys that I'm running some ads in MA Pro and NATMA and Martial Arts Success Magazine on taking it to the next level, and we've been getting a lot of new members. And just so you know, Member Solutions is so generous with all its clients, including myself. I'm a billing client with Member Solutions. And they offer, through their SEP program, the client education program, they offer a discount on a few different programs. I believe Mata, Next Level, and some other things. I'm not really sure. But you could actually get a discount when Member Solutions will actually pay towards your membership to educate yourselves. And I would like to see everyone in our organization to take advantage of that. And I also wanted to let you know that if you sign up at Next Level today or within the next week, you'll get a free DVD, which is, I have three business DVDs that are out, a brand new one that's just released, and it's really, really good. So I think that if you're interested and you sign up on Next Level, even for 1 month, you would get a $49.99 DVD for no charge. And I also wanted to offer you guys limited time to do a one-on-one call included in that package, but I also wanted to let you know that you could do one-on-one calls with myself and Melody Schumann and Kathy Marler. You guys could do a one-on-one call and pick our brains in private and say, this is a list of questions that I have. These are my faults that I need to work on. These are the things that I need to do better. These are the things that I'd like to have in the future. And we'll do our best, not to say that we know it, but we'll try our best to share some of our experiences with you guys. And I suggest that if you're on this call today, that you take advantage of that. And I'm going to give you my personal email address so that you guys can email me. And people say to me, how do you do that and give out your personal email address? But I have to tell you, I give it out, and if there's 30 people on the call and another 300 people listen to this, I'm lucky if I get 5 people that will actually email me and ask me questions. So the email is Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, ninja, at AOL.com. That's R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. You could email me or you could call the office and schedule a one-on-one appointment with Member Solutions. And I'm excited to help you guys. It really is. And Joe and I are working on a really cool test module to get people and really follow them over a course of, let's say, 2 or 3 months to see and mentor you guys so that we could maybe hold you accountable. And I would love for someone to hold me accountable. So if there's anyone out there that could do it, just call me up, and I'd love for you guys to do that for me. We'll work. So anyway, I want to say thanks for being on the conference call today. And as I say in my schools, gain the power to change your life forever. And until next time, have a great day and enjoy life and live life to the fullest. Thanks very much. Grow your school, enjoy, and have a great time. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Allie.
Bye, Joanne.